You are listening to From the Margins.
Aggressive state intervention into the local labor movement that ensures that the radical labor movements are marginal.
What they're looking for now is less to get elected and more to come to the favorable attention of capital.
For the first time in history, we have a movement in this country led by Indigenous peoples and, most importantly, Indigenous women.
Repeatedly, we've seen the attempt to criminalize Black victims, to do anything to smear their names, to basically imply that Black life isn't worth anything.
Our society teaches women to be ashamed of their bodies, to hate their bodies, to change their bodies.
We see increasing organized repression.
I'm stubborn. I'm not going to back down. This could go on for years and years and years.
People need to realize what type of struggle that they're on.
The police, of course, want you to believe that there's some kind of criminal reason behind this.
Take every day as an act of resistance, whether it was a strike, a riot, or whatever.
It's very difficult for people to engage in sustained dissent. I don't believe it's impossible, though.
Is the criminal code of Canada a capitalist? Well, not really, because a book can't be a capitalist. But the criminal code is loaded with the values of capital. This little episode of From the Margins will focus on one particular example that demonstrates how criminal law shows allegiance for the employer against the employee and thereby reinforces the exploitation of capital. The example is workplace theft. Here's King Missile with Take Stuff From Work. Trouble for workers begins with property law and defense of it in a one-sided manner in favor of employers. Workers use employers' property, that's the means of production and other employer-owned infrastructure, and only getting a cut of the value as wages. Now, wages are the property of the employee once owed. But as will be seen or heard, this employee property is very poorly defended by the law. Overall, it is this disparity between protection of employers' property versus non-protection of employee property that is being defended by the law. And I think what this does is this just reinforces the fact that workers do not gain any entitlement to the employer's property despite creating value for employers. Breaking this down to legal relationships, under employment law, an employee is put in a position of trust by the employer when it comes to the employer's property. That includes merch, machinery, money, bank account access, and so on. This position of trust is key. It forces the worker into a legal position where she has to show the utmost regard for the employer's property. This sets up workers for breach of trust if any of the employer's property is taken. A breach of trust charge is a very nasty charge under the law. If an employee is discovered in taking any of the employer's property without the employer's authorization and it's brought to the attention of the police, it is at least a theft charge and may end up with a more serious charge of fraud under the most serious kind of fraud, trust fraud. That's under the Criminal Code Section 380. Trust fraud arises because, as mentioned earlier, of the trustee position that the law has decided that workers are in regarding their handling of employers' property. The punishment for workers found guilty of trust fraud are severe, to say the least. Some comments from judges in sentencing make this point clearly. In the case of the Crown and Barber in 2005, this is from the Alberta Provincial Court, the court has a duty to protect employers from theft and fraud committed by employees in a position of trust. Individuals breaching that trust will generally be dealt with severely by the court. And here is the Crown and Lenci, L-E-N-C-I, 2003 decision at the Alberta Provincial Court. Generally speaking, in cases involving a breach of trust and the taking of significant amounts of money from an employer by an employee, the authorities have emphasized denunciation and deterrence as primary considerations in the sentencing process. Absent exceptional circumstances, a period of imprisonment is usually imposed, even on an accused who comes before the court with no prior criminal record. And here is the case of Murdoch and the Crown 2015 decision in the New Brunswick Court of Appeal. Chief Justice Drapeau stated, "It is widely accepted that the public interest is best served by emphasizing denunciation and deterrence in imposing sentence for thefts or frauds committed by employees who thereby abuse a position of trust in relation to their employers. That view has prompted this court and other appellate courts," and this is a reference to the rest of the country, "to hold that barring exceptional circumstances, a fit sentence for most categories of trust thefts or trust frauds by employees is one that features a jail term." And in this case, what we're talking about is a total amount stolen by the worker of $1,555.55. And the sentence for that approximately $1,600, a 73-day jail term. Also in this Murdoch case just noted, there is a table that shows sentences in New Brunswick for workers who were found guilty or who pled guilty to stealing from their employers. Here are some interesting numbers. So, in the case of Crown and Evans, this is a 2003 decision in the New Brunswick Court of Queen's Bench, the amount stolen by the worker was $120,416. And the sentence for that was 1 year jail plus 1 year of probation. Let's move on to some lower amounts and see what we get. All right, and this is the case of the Crown in Hamilton, New Brunswick Provincial Court, 2011. The amount stolen, about $5,000. And this worker got 10 months in jail plus 18 months probation. Here's a much smaller amount. This is the case of Roy Bossé in the New Brunswick Provincial Court, 2011. The amount stolen by this worker, $300. And the jail sentence, 30 days. That's a day in jail for each $10. All right, you get the idea. jail, and more jail. Beyond the prison sentence alone, the worker will have other harsh consequences due to the imposition of criminal law for workplace theft. There's also the stigma of the criminal record. A conviction can have impacts for years or even a lifetime. The criminal record will tend to trap someone into low-wage and dangerous jobs, will prevent a person from involvement in community organizations, and will alienate that person due to general social stigma against criminals. For a theft or fraud conviction where a worker stole from an employer, that worker will have an extremely hard time finding another job. Moving on to the employer side. As mentioned earlier, wages are the property of the worker once they are owed. As soon as a worker performs her labor, the wages are hers. So it would make sense that the employer should get dinged with a theft charge or a fraud charge for not paying the worker wages owed, right? After all, the worker signs on to the employment relationship trusting that she will be paid. So, for example, we should just be able to flip the employer and employee around in that Crown and Barber decision in Alberta that was quoted earlier. So let's do that and see what it sounds like. So this is paragraph 19 of the Crown and Barber with my amendments. The Crown has a duty to protect employees from theft and fraud committed by employers in a position of trust. Individuals breaching that trust will generally be dealt with severely by the court. Seem fair? Well, maybe that makes logical sense. It is not how the law operates in the employment relationship. And such a statement like that has never been made in a Canadian court of law. The employer is put in a position of trust to provide a safe workplace and to not make the worker do illegal things, but there is no breach of trust by the employer who denies wages to his employees. More to the point, there is zero criminal charge for an employer who does not pay wages owed to his workers. So, on the employee side, there are severe sanctions for workplace theft, but on the employer side, not even a criminal charge whatsoever. Let's look at a common example of employers stealing from workers. Wage theft. Well, actually, the most common kind of theft from workers is the extraction of surplus value from the workers to make a profit, which is protected by the law. But other than that, likely the most common form of employer theft from the worker is wage theft. This amounts to the employer not paying the worker what the worker is owed. This could be outright refusing to pay the worker, paying less than what is owed, etc. It could be that the employer is paying less than the minimum wage, for example, and there's a debt to the employee based on that deficit. Or it could be that the employer keeps saying, don't worry, the rest is coming, you'll be paid eventually. But they never are. And wage theft is no small matter. As the Toronto Star reported in 2016, August 2nd, 2016, victims of wage theft across Ontario have lost out on $28 million over the past 6 years because the Ministry of Labour failed to collect the pay owed to them by law-breaking bosses, new statistics show. Just $19 million of the $47.5 million stolen from out-of-pocket workers since 2009 has ever been recovered. Penalties are rarely imposed on employers, and the dispute resolution system provides opportunities for employers to avoid paying employees all that they are owed.
Let's play a game.
We start with the principle of proportionality from the Criminal Code. Section 718.2. A court that imposes a sentence shall also take into consideration the following principles. A sentence should be similar to sentences imposed on similar offenders for similar offenses committed in similar circumstances. So let's look at a specific case of a worker who is denied a significant amount of wages and try and apply proportionate criminal sentencing against the offending employer and see what happens. All right, so this is an example, a real-life example from the Workers' Action Center that's based in Toronto, Ontario. Cesar, an industrial painter, is currently fighting his employer, Comcote. Since 2007, his employer had paid him only $4,000 out of the $18,000 he is owed. According to Cesar, there is little hope that he will recover his remaining wages. There is little or no penalty for employers like Comcote, a company that is alleged to be a repeat violator. Okay, so Cesar was only paid $4,000 out of the $18,000 he was owed, meaning he still owed $14,000. And Comcote is noted as a repeat offender regarding wage theft. Keep those two facts in mind. All right, now let's go back to that table that I mentioned is in that case of Murdoch and the Crown, that 2015 case sent to the Brunswick Court of Appeal, and let's try and find some comparable cases in that table. All right, so the closest to Cesar's case, money-wise at least, is a 2013 New Brunswick case of the Crown and Sear. The employee in that case was guilty of stealing $20,000 from his employer, but was a first-time offender. His sentence was 6 months jail, plus 2 years probation, plus $20,000 restitution. That means pay back the $20,000. All right. Other cases that are probably useful for comparable sentences are the Crown and Budden, where the accused was found guilty of stealing $7,445. And no note whether Budden was a first-time offender, so assume not. Okay. So in that case, this guy got 6 months jail, plus payback not only the $7,445, but they threw in another $100, so $7,545. So this person got the same amount of jail time, but was only guilty of stealing less than half of what the other guy did. The big difference was that in the case of Budden, not a first-time offender, so he gets dinged with a bit more jail time. So if you're a repeat offender, more bad. If you steal less money, more good. So there you have it. Some key principles in figuring out how sentencing works. Now let's look at another case. This is the Crown and Martin Shedler, another New Brunswick case, where the accused was found guilty of taking $40,000 and also appears not to be a first-timer. And this person got 1 year of jail. So you see the sentence is getting a little longer when the money gets higher and is a repeat offender. So, what do we do in Cesar's case? So let's apply these principles and figure out what would be fair for Comcote. What does Comcote deserve considering these principles of proportionality and these cases which give a range of sentences? All right, so in Cesar's case, his employer, Comcote, was a repeat offender, which is bad. So a repeat offender of wage theft. And based on proportionality, we're seeing that the range of money we're talking about, Cesar's case, he was defrauded, in my opinion, of $14,000. So we're looking at between 6 and 12 months of jail based on the amount of money plus the fact that this is a repeat offender. And we also had some probation in one of those earlier cases that's mentioned in the case of Sears. So let's throw that into, let's throw in two and a half years of probation. Yeah, that sounds about right. Pay back the $14,000 owed. And how about an apology letter too? There we go. There's a good sentence. So 1 year in jail, 2.5 years probation, pay back the $14,000 owed, and apologize to the worker. So feel free to try this yourself and see what you get. All right. The back to reality. That example just noted is based on a fictional world where there is justice for workers. In reality, there was no criminal sentence for Cesar's employer, Comcote. I don't actually know how that story ended, or if it has, but the sad truth is that there was probably no more than a tap on the wrist for the employer. As noted by the Workers' Action Center's anti-wage theft campaign, there is little cost to breaking the law. Employers that are caught in violation only have to pay wages they should have paid in the first place. That is, if the violation is not settled for less. Just over 2% of employers found in violation of the Employment Standards Act pay a penalty, generally a ticket for $360. So, in conclusion, here's MC Lids.
Every day I'm extracted for excess action. They track in my wake and feelings a smile. Panopticon can see you. I'm semi-conscious at best, cause while I'm chained to my desk, I'm seeking freedom in death. My life's a boring sequel. I try to find some kind of hero I can emulate, cause this is dire straits. I want my MTV, but every time that I relax, my productivity will lapse, and then they tell me that I'm stealing from the company. Bougie wanna be the boogeyman, the state will lend a hand, lock us up for pennies, but on payroll there's a blatant scam. Repercussions, there was nothing. Millions that they were stuffing. Pockets deep, hip-hop. Hip hop unlocked the secrecy, cause the markets be what a shark can see. At a Walmart scrambling for groceries, and an eagle's nest praying DDT. At a pipeline dancing to a Hopi beat. Hopefully you got a rosary, that 10 beats later will set you free. But the day will come when the people in slums gonna look to a brand new deity. Converted mystics, these venomous words make misfits. These elegant girls in the trenches, we'll see who the last Ubermensch is. Got neighbors peeking over fences, got saviors looking for redemption. Got profile for my dope style, got a few more things I gotta mention. Like labor relation, tension, stagnating wages, no pension. Workplace, yeah, no friendship, no trust, no love, no brethren. Tell me now before I break the code. Left leader, but he barely spoke. Labor Day, find him on a float. Got Fox singing out baritone. This state is partial. I'm not the first one to raise all hell. But the fact of the matter is, back at the rally, there's people who can't afford to live well. So raise your placards, cause corporates got it all backwards. We're the hands that give and the lives that live, and equality's all that we're after. There's no more master, so you can just forget it. Making a dime while robbing me blind, it's time you shared my vision. That crony capitalism stays cloaked as hope for the children. Stay woke for the cash cow hopes, cause you're never gonna know your noble mission. They wanna see me crawling up the mausoleum walls. They never knew that I had necromancers as pen pals. They question rightly if they ask about my mental health. Save up for the bell, let's talk that when I get spraying 8K cross them through warehouse shelves. I wanna thank you for these sacrifices at Haymarket, for all the picket lines and joining cold November marches. Don't listen to them if they tell you you can't change the markets. Just bid it back and ask them if they know who Karl Marx is. I'm getting loose and candid, provocateurs get planted, them tactics underhanded, but that's just how we're branded. The media will paint us as hooligans or stainless. They'll wanna see our faces, they'll try to place in handcuffs. So raise your voices loudly from every cruiser back. There is a brighter future. We're gonna live as family, do the deed so we can set the goal. Make it up, but we're not alone. Don't need money, cause I'm banking hope. Screaming out through the megaphone. This state is partial. I'm not the first one to raise all hell. Cause the fact of the matter is, back at the rally, there's people who can't afford to live well. So raise your placards, cause corporates got it all backwards. We're the hands that give and the lives that live, and equality's all that we're after. There's no more master, so you can just forget it. Making a dime while robbing me blind, it's time you shared my vision. That crony capitalism stays cloaked as hope for the children. Stay woke for the cash cow hopes, you're never gonna know that noble mission.
Everybody.